right, but thank you for letting me be back with you. Go ahead and turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1, if you will, please. 2 Peter chapter 1 for our scripture reading this morning. And while you're turning, let me challenge you, if you are not doing so already, let me challenge you to read the Bible every day. You'll find that a person who neglects the Word of God will have a lot of trouble in their life, a lot of struggles, a lot of heartache, and so forth and so on. And so 2 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 1, if you will, please. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Now watch this, grace and peace. Grace is both the ability and the desire to do something that God wants you to do. So God says you can have grace and peace. Peace is what the world is looking for. So he said, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Now watch it. He doesn't say it comes in little packets. Doesn't say you put it in the tea and stir it up and drink it. He says it comes through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So if you want multiplied grace, multiplied peace, then you've got to get more and more acquainted with God, more and more acquainted with Jesus. And the only way I know you can do that is through the Word of God. So that's the reason Satan will see that you're too busy. He'll see that you get distracted. He'll see that you get disinterested in reading the Word of God because he knows he can defeat you, that you won't have the desire or ability or the peace that you have. So he says it comes through the knowledge of God. Verse 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, watch this, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. So again, everything you need to live the Christian life comes through getting to know God. Verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So Satan knows that if he can get you to neglect the Word of God, he knows if he can get you too busy, get you watching more television than you read the Bible, watching ball games more than you read the Bible, then he can defeat you as a Christian. And so Peter is reminding us that if you want to have the desire and the ability to serve God, and if you want the peace that the world's looking for, it can be multiplied to you, but you've got to get more and more acquainted with the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, that's only through the Scriptures. Now, when I say that, I encourage you again to read it. And then, of course, when you read it, make a time, at least a couple of times a week, where you study it. But verse 4 talks about exceeding great and precious promises. The Lord wants us to be able to claim promises for ourselves, stand on those promises. The songwriter said, standing on the promises, I cannot fall. And so you get acquainted with the promises of God and you stand on them. I may have told you this before, but many years ago, somebody told me this and I've been doing it ever since. When I come across a promise in the Word of God, I will claim that promise. I will claim that promise. And then when that promise comes to pass in my life, when it becomes a part of my life and helps me through my struggles or whatever, then I mark in the margin of my Bible the initials TP, meaning tried and proven. Tried and proven. So you can start in any Bible that I own and go from Genesis to Revelation and you'll find TP in the margin of over and over and over and over and over, where I have tried that promise and proven it to be so. Tried and proven. Somebody said there's 32,000 promises in the Word of God. Now, I don't know whether that's so or not. I've never counted them. Wouldn't even begin to try to count them. But over 32,000 promises. But because we're so forgetful, and maybe you're not, I'm sort of a forgetful person. I'm sort of like that guy sitting on the front porch with his buddy, and he told that buddy, he said, I found some vitamins that help your memory. He said, you did? He said, I need some. Tell me what they are. And he said, well, just a minute. He said, what's that flower that has thorns on the stem and smells? He said, you mean a rose? He said, yeah, a rose. Rose, honey, what's the name of those pills I take for my memory? So I fit into sort of that category. But because God knows we are forgetful, He has taken the promises of God and instead of putting them in abstract form, He has put them in everyday situations to where normal, common things remind us of the promises of God. I mean, just common, everyday things. For instance, a door. We go in and out of a door. I went in and out of several doors today and opened the car door and got inside and then got back out. And every time I opened the door, I was reminded of a promise where Jesus said, I am the door. And if any man come in, He talks about having salvation. So every time I went through a door, I was reminded of the thing that happened in my life 52 years ago. And I thanked Him over and over this morning for my salvation. I don't have to wait for a revival meeting. Don't have to wait for a preacher to preach. God stirs my heart regularly every day. Amen. A door. I mean, you go through a door. Lord, thank you for that day when I went through the door of salvation, and I now belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. He talks about a door being opportunity. He said, I've set before thee an open door. And meaning that you have opportunities to serve God, and He will open that door for you. And so, again, every time I go through a door, I say, Lord, thank you for the opportunity to preach, to win souls, to live for Christ. And so on a regular basis, I'm reminded of this open door. Amen. Or His willingness to fellowship with me. He said, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open, I'll come in and fellowship or sup with him and him with me. And so I'm reminded that not only about the salvation I have, about the opportunities I have, but I'm reminded that He wants to fellowship with me. Now that surprises me. I'm not surprised He'd want to fellowship with you, but it astonishes me that He wants to fellowship with me. I'm amazed that God would take time to want to sit down with me and fellowship with somebody like me. So this morning, I've been stirred several times because I've been in and out of a door several times. Lord, thank you for my salvation. Thank you for the opportunity to serve you. Thank you for the fact that you want to fellowship with me. Precious promises. Precious promises. Yeah. My wife, when we were first married, she didn't like ironing. Back then, you had to iron everything. I mean, remember those good old days? I mean, wasn't any wrinkle-free stuff. Wasn't any air conditioning. I mean, I'd ride from Georgia to Mississippi in that little Volkswagen Doodlebug. When I'd get there, everything was wet and wrinkled. And so you had to iron everything. But my wife did not like to iron. And so one day I'm praying about it, and I said, well, Linda, next time you get ready to iron, I said, tell me about it, if you will. And she said, all right. So she said, I'm getting ready to iron. So I went and got a can of faultless spray starch. And I said, every time you spray that starch on that garment, claim the promises that there's going to be a day when we'll not have any spot or wrinkle or any such thing. You look forward to that wonderful day when we're going to be blameless, sinless, Look forward to that day when we're going to be perfect like the Lord Jesus Christ. So for years and years and years, she's been faithful about ironing my shirts. And a few years ago, because her health has gotten so bad, she's not able to stand and do. And I said to her, I said, Linda, you're not able to iron my shirts anymore. I said, let me get somebody else to do it. And the tears started rolling down her eyes. She said, please don't take that from me. I said, why not? She said, I can't go to church. I can't do much for the Lord, but I can iron the man of God's shirts. And when you stand in the pulpit and somebody gets saved or a home is helped, I've been a part of that. Please don't take that away from me. So I didn't. So she irons my shirts, and when I preach and somebody gets saved, she's a part of that. But she claims that promise. But she claims that promise that we're going to one day be without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. I'm just saying, listen, exceeding great and precious promises. I love to walk, and I walk quite a bit. And when I'm walking, I claim the promise where the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And so every day, little common things can remind you of these precious promises. I was over in Wilmington, North Carolina a few years ago, and this is back before cell phones and all, and I was staying in the prophet's chamber, and I usually call my wife early in the morning, first thing in the morning, and so I had walked about a couple of blocks up to this little strip mall, and beautiful day. I mean, just gentle breeze and birds are singing, just a gorgeous day. And so there's a telephone. You young people wouldn't remember this, but there's a telephone there, and then a few feet down another one, and then a few feet down another one, and then another one. And so I'm standing here using the phone, and while I'm talking to my wife, this little sparrow flies down and lights right there in front of me. And so I said to my wife, I said, hold on just a minute. And I said to that little sparrow, I said, hey, little guy. I said, you rest all right last night? Or did you lay awake all night long wondering what you're going to eat and where he's going to stay today? Well, there's a lady on the phone down below me there, and she stops talking. She's watching me. Well, while I'm talking, that little old sparrow, it flies up and lights on my shoulder. And I keep on talking to it. And I said, your father treating you okay? Well, again, that lady, she's staring. And finally, I turned to her and I said, he and I have the same father. She hung that thing up and boom! I guess she thought she's next to a nut. But a little sparrow reminds me of how much God cares for me. He said, if a sparrow falls from the ground and God knows about it, how much more are you worth than that little sparrow? So I'm talking about these exceeding great and precious promises that remind us every day, every moment of the day, about the care, the concern, the power that our Lord has. When I was growing up, and this is not to get your sympathy, I'm just telling you this, the facts of the matter. When I was growing up, my dad and mom were separated off and on most of my life. When I was 9 years of age, I developed an intense hatred for my dad, intense hatred. Hated him with a passion. Finally, he left when I was 12, and I went to work. So I've never known what it was to sit down with my dad and say, Dad, would you help me with my homework? I've never had my dad say, let's go fishing. I mean, just didn't have that relationship with him. I don't remember ever having much of any kind of conversation with him. So because I didn't know anything about a father-son relationship, when I got saved, God to me was this powerful being that lived in the universe somewhere. and kept an eye on me. And every time I stepped out of line, poof, he'd come down on me. I'd have a flat tire and I'd say, what have I done now? I'm trying to live right. Why are you giving me a flat tire? Because to me, God was this powerful, powerful being that I couldn't relate to except as a powerful being. But then we had our first child. I got saved. We had our first child. And we brought that little old guy home. And he was 6 pounds when he was born, 5 pounds something when I took him home. And I laid him in the middle of that bed. Ugly. Oh, my goodness. Bless his heart. He was. I remember when he was first born, my wife said, what'd we have? Of course, she's still groggy. And I said, had a little boy. She says, is he pretty? I said, oh, baby, he's ugly. She said, and don't you say, look who he came from. But she said, don't you say that. And so when we brought him and put him in her arms, she said, oh, he is ugly. Thank the Lord he outgrew it. He's a handsome fella now. But I brought that little guy and I laid him in the middle of the bed and he was such a tiny, tiny little thing. And I remember standing back and looking at him, you know, that little fella is dependent upon me to provide for him, train him, teach him, discipline him, show him the right way, the wrong way. I'm his father. And the scripture came to me where it said I could pray, our Father, which art in heaven. And something happened to me that day, preacher. God, instead of being just this powerful being way off somewhere in the universe, became this individual that was my father that said he would provide for me and protect me and lead me and care for me. So since that day, when I get ready to pray, I look up toward heaven and I say, Father, this is your son. I need help here. I'm struggling in this area. I'm just talking about great and precious promises. God wants us every day to be reminded of his relationship to us and the things he's promised us. I live in just a little simple frame home, but I'm pleased with it. We enjoy living there. And when I stand there in the yard and look up toward my house, I said, Lord, I want to thank you for the house I've got in heaven. Thank you for this house, but I want to thank you for the home that I've got in heaven. When I'm traveling, I'm going north, south, east, and west, and I think about the scripture where he says that as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. And I thank him for that promise. Peter said, get acquainted with him. Get to know him. And you'll find great, exceeding great, precious promises you can stand on. You'll find grace multiplied unto you. You'll find peace multiplied unto you. You won't go through life all ragged out and worried and because you say, well, Lord, I know you take good care of me. You know, when you get up in the morning, you comb your hair, you leave some in the brush, leave some on the sink, leave some on the floor. You're so important to the Lord that when some of that hair came out, he changed the number. The Bible says the very hairs of your head are numbered. He knows when you're going through struggles. He knows when you're fearful. He knows what the doctor said. He knows the struggle with raising those children. He knows about the pain that you have on a day-by-day basis, the fact that you toss and turn during the night, the fact that you struggle during the day. I mean, he knows all about that. And so he says that we'll have peace and grace as we get acquainted with his exceeding great and precious promises. When I look out a window, I'm reminded of his promise about taking care of me financially. He said, if I'll bring 10%, not 90, not 80, not 70, just 10%. If I bring 10% of my income to the church, give it to the Lord, he said, I'll open the windows of heaven and pour out the blessings that there's not room enough to receive it. And so when I look out a window, I say, Lord, thank you for that promise. And all you require of me is just 10%. And you promise to pour out the blessings. What time do you want me to quit, brother? About 2 or 3 minutes. But anyway, I'm just talking about when I think of my eyes, I think of the promise where God said, the eyes of the Lord go to and fro in all the earth, looking for, and I'm putting in my words, looking for somebody he can use, somebody he can display his power through. So exceeding great. So I don't have to wait for revival to be stirred. I don't have to wait for a sermon to be stirred. I don't have to read a book to be stirred. I mean, day by day, God is reminding me that these are the things I want to do for you. And I say, what a Savior. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
What a Savior. Thank you. Thank you for your time. God bless you.